I'm going to talk you through my lessons learned in the pandemic, looking back. This is very much a personal view. It's not a polished presentation. It's something that we are still coming out of in terms of vaccine development. So it's somewhat raw, but I think that's the honest way to present it to you at this point. So I'll take you through what we learned from it. So the first thing I want to say is that partnerships can achieve great things. And what we had in 2020 was a new partnership between academic groups at the University of Oxford, and actually multiple academic groups, but groups that already knew each other and worked together to a fairly large extent, and a big pharma partner, AstraZeneca, of course, who licensed the vaccine technology at the end of April of last year. And I think that this is a very good model for future partnerships when we need to do something quickly, but also at large scale, because academia can be fast and flexible. We have many sources of expertise available in-house. We have networks of academic collaborators in the UK, but also in other countries, which turned out to be very useful. We could draw on these existing relationships. We didn't have to form new relationships in order to get things moving. But perhaps somewhat unusually, we don't just do the very early development of new ideas. Oxford has its own GMP manufacturing facility where we can make vaccines to take into clinical trials. We have a clinical trial center. We have a lot of experience in developing manufacturing processes and initiating and continuing with clinical trials. And it was really important that Oxford didn't just do the early work on the vaccine, but by the 23rd of April, of 2020, we had manufactured the vaccine to GMP, ready for clinical trials. We had all the approvals and the clinical trials started. Oxford then led phase one, phase two, and phase three clinical studies in the UK and in Brazil and South Africa as well. So if we're going to have good transfer of ideas from academia into pharmaceutical companies, it's necessary, in my view, to take things past the idea stage. If academic work is transferred at a very early stage, it often moves very, very slowly when it gets into a company. And what was different here was that we'd taken it a long way through development. We had a scalable manufacturing process. We were generating clinical trial data, and therefore it was much easier for a large pharma partner to step in and take it from there. Now, it's not going to be possible for every university and every academic group to have access to such facilities, particularly when we're thinking about other areas, drug development as well. But I do think within the UK, we have the possibility of maybe having some hubs in GMP manufacturing, also clinical trials, which will allow academics to get their early phase work further on in the development process, because that's what's really needed. And by collaborating together and facilitating access into GMP manufacturing and into clinical trials, we can actually get more value out of the vast amount of work that is done in academic groups, and often just stays there because it doesn't move out of the university lab and into the clinic. So that's something I would like to see more emphasis on, getting things moved further on down the development pathway while still in academia. And that also goes hand in hand with developing new processes and perhaps new approaches to running clinical trials, which are also beneficial. But there's, of course, no way that a university is going to be able to do the large-scale manufacture and also the global regulatory submissions that are needed to license a vaccine to be used across the world. So we really had to move from in terms of manufacturing, from a manual, very hands-on approach to a large-scale systems and logistics approach, which is slower to make small amounts of doses, but it's absolutely essential when you want large amounts of doses. And the two types of work together, the academic and the big pharma, was what enabled us to move quickly in 2020. But we do have difficulty in the academic groups in that funding has moved very much towards short-term funding, short-term grants, often only 3 years, which may take a year to apply for. And teamwork, large teams who can do manufacturing and clinical trials, for example, were really essential last year, but it is increasingly difficult to maintain the teams when we have such short-term funding. And I think from 2022, that's going to be even more of a problem, because we're finding that we should be applying now for money to pay our staff from next year, and there is really not very much available that we can be applying for. So in order to keep the team together, we're going to need some creative ideas. I have to say that we did miss some opportunities to be better prepared. I had been working in outbreak pathogen vaccine development for some time and was aware of what was going to be needed if we had to respond to a large outbreak or a pandemic. And we had been trying to get vaccine technology development and vaccine manufacturing enhanced many times before 2020. I have always found, and my colleagues find as well, that it's never been possible to get funding to develop the technology that underpins the development of all the different vaccines that we then work on. We can get funding for specific vaccines against specific diseases, but to fund the technology itself, nobody was ever interested in that. And we had to do it by a little bit of work on one project, a little bit of work on another. And then we found some gaps when we tried to put all of this together. We'd also wanted to expand our own manufacturing facility, and that hadn't happened. We hadn't been able to get funding for our own plans on response to disease X. So although we'd had the ideas, we hadn't been able to put them into practice. And a major problem with producing the doses from clinical trials, they were made by four different companies, each with a different process and assays. And this was a major difficulty that we had with our clinical trials. Our clinical trials would have run much more quickly and much more smoothly had we had an extended and modified CBF and VMIC already up and running, and then to pass on to a commercial manufacturer after that. And all of those things have been requested, but they haven't been funded. And then we really needed them. It's very difficult to work without those. Finally, having a clear and shared goal achieves much more than lots of planning. Grant applications are increasingly large, complex. And last year, we went from concept to 700 million vaccine doses released for use in 172 countries in less time than some academic funding applications now take. Our plans were constantly being developed every day, literally. Budgets were reactive. We did report actual spending, but the plans changed so often we didn't have detailed budgets to request funding in advance. The decisions were made by those leading the work, not by external consultants to funders who often have a large amount of influence despite not doing the work themselves. But the UKRI rapid response scheme, I felt, achieved a good balance of information gathering and speed, which meant that we could provide an appropriate amount of information and receive funding to move the programme forward. And coming back to the teams, establishing and maintaining expert teams in academia should be prioritised over small grants, which run for short times and make building teams very difficult. So I'll stop there because I see that the Minister has now joined us, and we can come back to this for discussion later.